Do you want to be more like Jesus Christ? Anybody? Do you want to be more like Jesus in his prayer life? Now, some of you shook your head. Some of you even vocally said yes. But just like our message last Friday, the real question is, do you really mean that? Do you really want that? Because there's many times in life when we think we want things. I really don't know if I'm the best person to share this message, but when God puts something on your heart, you got to share about it. But we're going to talk about prayer today. And as we think about that, there have been times in my life that I've had more vibrant and fresh prayer life than I do right now. There's certainly been times in my life when I've had maybe a less vibrant prayer life than I do right now. There are probably some, maybe many, perhaps most, that are here in the audience that maybe have a more vibrant and personal and deep prayer life than what I do. But God wants us to be transformed through prayer, to be conformed to the image of His servant. So today we're going to look at the form of the servant, transform through prayer. And as we do that, I want to begin with sharing with you about a time when God transformed my life through prayer. Now again, when I was probably in your seats as a student, there were three men and a lady, a youth leader, early in my ministry life that were very powerful and impactful in my life that I loved to pray with, or I loved to be around when I heard them praying, because it seemed like they had a deep connection with God. They were real, genuine, transparent, authentic. At some times they would be extremely bold, and I'm like, man, how can they ask God for those kinds of things? And they even challenged my heart early in my ministry at Alpine to be very careful to pray big prayers, because if you ask God for big things, He might actually involve you in what He's doing, and He might do some things that will blow your mind. But it might also cost you something. That's why many times I'm not bold enough, or maybe diligent enough, or brave enough sometimes to pray big prayers. But I've seen God work in my life. In fact, God transformed my life. It was 2016. It was June. And I found myself right here. Not right here, but in the floor of the secretary's office in our church. I was really in a place where I couldn't move. I was laying on the floor, trying not to vomit. I was sick. I had a stress headache that was felt like a knife stabbing through the back of my neck up into my head. I could hear the music from the church service playing. It was Sunday morning, and I wanted to be in the service extremely bad. At the same time, I wanted to be over in our gymnasium helping people. I overextended myself, and I found myself laying on the floor and looking up on the ceiling and praying and talking to God. And God was, at that moment, helping me to realize that I really wasn't as important as I thought I was. That God really didn't need me. That in my weakness, He was much stronger than me, and He was doing something much bigger than myself. And then He was just allowing me to be a part of it, a little part of it. So I laid there and I prayed. And even through my frustration, I realized that I was in the best place I could be. I was actually experiencing the answer to my prayer, that God would change and transform our church and our community. But when I was praying those prayers, He was actually transforming me in my inner man and from the inside out. God was humbling me. Sometimes there's things in our lives that we want to do, but we can't do it. And God was doing something so much bigger than me. I want to share with you a little bit about it. It was about 3 days before that. I was laying there in my bed in the middle of the night, and it was just pouring down the rain. I mean, it was monsoon season. It was like, man, I was laying there, I'm like, man, tomorrow I'm going to have to get up and go fix my driveway because sometimes it washes out a little bit in our gravel. And that's all I was thinking about. And I don't really know if I was remembering. Sometimes I think about other people or other things when I woke up in the middle of the night. But anyways, the next day I wake up and I'm walking around. I'm doing some work around the house. And I get a call and they say, would you be willing to help allow your church to open up? There are people that need a place to stay, and their homes have been flooded out. They said that the flood was, not at that point, but later on they said that the flood was a 1-in-1,000-year flood, or basically it doesn't happen often. There was over 10 inches of rain that came in a very short amount of time in some very specific places, steep mountain valleys and things, and flooded towns in Greenbrier County, Webster and Richwood area in Clay County, and those are three areas that we specifically helped out with. But I went to the church. I said, yeah, we'll do what we can. Power wasn't on at church. We started up the generator, and within minutes, I mean, literally within minutes, hundreds of people started showing up at our church. People were bringing food. People were bringing supplies. People were bringing cots. People were bringing truckloads of stuff. All throughout that day, the next day, and the days to come, they brought busloads of people that were sheltered there in our church. And it wasn't just our church. There were multiple churches in our area. We were kind of at a higher place in Hyco, West Virginia, where other places from down in the valley were bringing the people up to our place. We housed a bunch of people from Raynell area here in West Virginia. And I was amazed over those few days, or really a couple weeks, what God did. Again, we were praying that God would do something great in our church and things, but we don't always understand that the answer to those prayers sometimes comes with a lot of difficulty and stress and trouble. Again, there were all kinds of different people that God brought to a church that would have never heard the gospel, never received a Bible. He was doing something bigger than what we could do. We were reaching people that we could never reach. There were people doing drugs in our church. There were lesbians that were being housed in our church. There were people that were disabled. One really big guy, only had one leg, and we only had two showers. But we were putting, you know, rotating people through showers like all the time. There were the sheriff's department from Fayette County was they were doing a lot of work out of our church and organizing things and sending things out to different communities for things. Fire department, all kinds of volunteers, hundreds of volunteers. So this is our gymnasium at our church. That was after like a day. All this stuff started showing up. In fact, so much stuff we had to start turning people away. We were just organizing things, trying to get stuff to people. I don't know how many angels I met that week, but I would get calls for a need, and within minutes sometimes somebody would walk through the door and be like, I've got a truckload of stuff. I don't know what to do with it, but I figured I could stop here and you guys could do something with it. And I'm like, I need you to take that to Raynell, or I need you to take that to Richwood, or I need you to take that to this church, or I need you to take this to this location. Roads were washed out. It was hard to get access to people and places. It was really hard and difficult to do those things. Again, the people were organizing things and orchestrating things there out of our church. People would show up and be like, we've got a couple cases of Bibles. Can we hand them out to people? We're like, yeah, that's great. I mean, we were doing all kinds of things, going in different directions. I was just amazed at what God was doing in such a short amount of time and getting the gospel out there. And then again, I found myself there on Sunday morning wanting to go to the church service. We invited all these people that were displaced from their homes, and some of these had been rescued. Some of their family members had drowned or died in the flood. And we invited them to our church service, however they could come. I mean, they were wearing their shorts or whatever clothes that they had, and they came to the church service, and I so wanted to be there, but God humbled me and put me in a place. Oh, I lost that little thing. It'll get me if I do that. Sorry. Okay. God humbled me. It was so hard and so difficult, but also such a sweet communion with God at those points and times in my life. I didn't even understand that God was actually answering prayers that I would pray years later. In 2020, anybody know what happened in 2020? Some kind of a pandemic or something like that. Anyways, of course, our church basically shuts down for a few months, and offerings and giving wasn't as much as what it was. And at the end of this week, or after this, we actually went back into a Rainier area, and we started doing some work projects. And we went into a doctor's office, and we took out all of the sheetrock from 4 feet up down, and we took it out, and we worked on that. That's Mr. Holloway and Sharon as they came down to help out with that, and my daughter, and a guy from our church. I didn't get any pictures of myself, but we went in there and did some work. You know, 4 years later, God answered a prayer for our financial needs. The guy who ran the dentist's office there that we were helping out in, he passed away, and some of the money from his estate or whatever was used to bless other people in ministries, and they gave us over $10,000, I think, in one time, and then another time gave us some more money because of what we did that week. The amazing thing is that we were down $10,000 in our giving of what our projected needs were in 2020 or 2021, whichever it was. God was doing amazing things. He was doing exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. And as we think about this, I want to get into some scripture here because I could talk about that experience all the rest of our time here. But again, I was on my knees and I was laying there and I was just, you know what, God, I can't do this. I don't have the strength. And God is like, that's exactly where I've been trying to get you this whole time. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 8, I want to look at just a couple points, a couple thoughts this morning, if I can be diligent and get through some of this, because I want to challenge your heart in just one specific way. But I believe that God uses our weaknesses, suffering, and trials to help us pray like Jesus. That's point number one here. If you go to Romans chapter 8, again, we heard some good messages recently on this last semester, but in Romans 8:1, it says, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And then you go on down and you look at verse 15, 16, and 17, and it talks about us being adopted into God's family by wherewith we can call out to Him as Abba Father, God Father, Daddy, I'm crying out to you. You ever get to the place where you don't know what to pray for, you don't know what to say, you don't know what you need, but you know you need something because you're not enough? You don't have enough, you're not able to do enough. And God is trying to get us to the place where we are completely dependent upon Him. And either we can put ourselves there or see ourselves there, or He'll allow us to go through circumstances that it will get us there. And we see that all throughout the Old Testament and in other illustrations throughout Scripture. But it says there in verse 18, I had a powerful message last semester on this verse. I've been meditating on it ever since. But it says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Those suffering, the trials, the difficulties that we go through, God is using to transform and mold us and conform us into the image of His Son. And I believe through the process of prayer. I've talked about prayer often, and what's the simple answer? What is prayer? It's simply what? Talking to God, right? I believe that prayer is so much more than that. That's like this simple definition for it, but prayer is about God working in us. It's about a relationship with God. It's about God helping us to see ourselves for who we are and seeing God for who He is, high and lifted up and exalted. It's about God conforming us to the image of His Son. And I think, again, prayer is so much deeper than just talking to God. But it says here, if you go on down into verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our what? Our infirmities or our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit makes it itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you know in our infirmities and our weaknesses, and that's both physical, and again, you look at that word, it's not just, it's physical, it's mental weaknesses, or you know, all the weaknesses that we have, God's Holy Spirit can make up for whatever they are. It says that the Spirit makes intercessions, prays on our behalf with groanings which we can't even fathom or understand. There is so much about prayer that I don't understand and get. But according to these verses, the Holy Spirit is doing something in my life that I don't understand and I can't grasp or hold on to. To when I am frustrated, I am unable, God is able and God can do something bigger than myself. And it says in the next verse, "And He, God, that searches the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." God the Father knows the mind of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit prays on my behalf. We know from Hebrews chapter 7 that Jesus, God's Son, is also going boldly before the throne of grace on our behalf. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all working in our lives through prayer. And God knows the mind of the Spirit, and the Spirit prays the will of God, and God does what the Spirit asks Him to do. God answers prayer. The problem is, I don't always know what to pray for, but God is working a work in our lives right now more and bigger than what we could ever fathom or think. We don't always see it on the day-to-day basis, but God shows up at certain times and does things that are pretty amazing, pretty big. And it's because the Holy Spirit is praying God's will, and God likes to answer His will. That's why prayer can be so exciting. So it says in the next verse, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are the called according to His purpose." God is working a work that is good. It's for our good and for His glory. And we can't understand it. See, God, when I graduated from ABC, man, I knew so much more about God than I do now. And it's not because I haven't studied or dug deeper into Scripture, but God is so much bigger now than what He was when I was a student. And I love putting God in all of these theological boxes and things, but He doesn't always fit in our boxes. He's really much bigger than even our theology can wrap around. But why? Verse 29, it says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." That word conformed is the word sumorphos, if I remember right. Sumorphos. And it has the aspect of fashioning and molding or making into something else. God is conforming us, making us into the image of His Son. I believe in the context here, through prayer. Through intercessory prayer with the Holy Spirit, when we don't know what to pray for or how to pray, God is doing that, and He's doing that to conform us to the image of His Son. I believe going back to verse 18 that says, the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared to what? The glory that's going to come. God is making us into the image of His Son, and He's doing that. And that word sumorphos comes out of the word morphe, which is found twice in our Bible memory passage this semester. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, being in the form of God, morphe, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took on Him the form of the servant. Let's go over to a second point here. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3. I don't know if I could get through two passages today, but I'm going to try my best here. Ephesians chapter 3, if you'll go there. I believe also not only that our weaknesses and sufferings and trials cause us to pray like Jesus, but it also our weaknesses, sufferings, and trials allow us to experience God's love, His grace, His goodness, His power, His love, all through prayer. We're going to see here in this chapter that Paul saw himself as extremely weak. And we think of Paul as like super missionary dude. I'm like, he's like the missionary guy. He's like planting churches everywhere and doing all kinds of amazing things for God. But yet Paul calls out and says about himself, "I'm weak, I struggle, I'm frail all the time." And the people, again, that were in my life, the disciples asked Jesus to teach us to pray. Well, I did that to one of those men that I said I love to hear pray. And I said, "Can you pray with me? I want to be able to pray like you." And he's like, "That's fine." And so we got together and we met and we prayed. We would just pray and things. But it amazed me sometimes how weak and frail he would talk about himself in his prayers about how weak he was and things. And yet I knew he was much more spiritually mature than I was. And when we think about Paul here, he's going to say that, I'm extremely weak. And we're like, "Paul, you're not weak. You're one of the most strong men that I know." But they started to see themselves in light of God. And when you see God for who He is, as big as He is, you start seeing yourself as being extremely small. And I believe that's what Paul does, is he just says, you know what, man, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm the weakest of people. Because he's seen how big God was and how holy God is. So in Ephesians chapter 3, it says, "For this cause," in verse 1, "I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Now that's the beginning of it. You'll see that over in verse 14, he starts off, "For this cause," again. He kind of starts praying. He's like a pastor that gets off on rabbit trails. I do that often, okay? So he's here and he says, "For this cause," and then he goes into this long sentence, one of those really long Paul sentences, that talks about the mysteries of God taking Jews and Gentiles and putting them in the body of Christ, which is an amazing thing. In fact, he ends the chapter by saying, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think. And I believe the answer of that was, God could bring Jews and Gentiles together, the most unlikely people in all world. God can bring them together and he can bring glory to himself by doing that. God could do that in the city of Ephesus. And now as we go on down through here, it says in verse 6 that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Man, fathom that. Verse 7, "Wherefore I also am made a minister or a servant according to the gift of grace." Verse 8, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ?" Fathom that. Paul's like, you know what? I spent chapter 1 telling you about all the blessings we have in Christ, but let me tell you this. He gave us the opportunity to be servants to tell other people about his grace and his unsearchable riches. Wow! That's exciting. You guys aren't as excited as I am. You need to loosen up a little bit. These are phenomenal things that he's talking about. And now he goes down to verse 12 and he says, "In whom we have" what? Think about it. He's going to talk about prayer and he's going to break into prayer. Woo! Here in just a moment. Just get ready, all right? Verse 12, "In whom we have boldness and access" with what? With confidence. Why do we have boldness and access and confidence? He just told us he's extremely weak. He says it's by faith in him, in Jesus. It's not about our special prayers or our power of prayer. It's about God's power of using weak and frail people like you and me. That's why we can come and be a part of an Appalachian Bible College and people are like, man, there's just a bunch of people down there. I mean, like, can God do anything with that small group of people down there? If he could take 12 people and turn the world upside down, what could he do with us? Because, see, it's not about us. It's about him, and it's about what he can do through our prayers. Keep reading here. It says in verse 13, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations." And then it says in verse 14, "For this cause." Now he's starting his prayer. He started the prayer in verse 1. Now he's starting his prayer again. He says, "I bow my knees." That's a good place to be. Humble and on our knees. And he says, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." That he would do what? He prays for one thing. He's got a long prayer. It's like 4, 5, 6 verses or something. And he asks for one thing. It's right here in this verse. He says that God would grant you one thing according to the riches of his glory. If God would just do it according to all the things that he has access to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. He says, Ephesian believers, I want you to be strengthened in your inner being by the Spirit of God with the riches of God's glory, according to verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. He says, you know what? I want you to experience God living inside of you in such a way that you just, I've got to tell people about him. I want you to be strengthened in your inner man. Anybody today say, you know what? I need strength in my inner person. I'm a little bit weak. I'm frustrated. I'm dealing with things. I'm going through challenges in life. And I need God to live and take up residence right here so that I know he's there. To promise us that he never leaves us and never forsakes us. But do you ever feel his presence? Do you ever feel and sense and experience the Holy Spirit in your life in a way that you say, you know what? I don't need anything else. I've got God. I've got Jesus living inside of me. and I can't hold it back. To be strengthened in the inner man. And then he goes off on this rant about God's love. He says that you're rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes, or I would say surpasses, or overtakes our knowledge. We can't understand Christ's love. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been overwhelmed by the love of Christ? When I was there with that flood stuff, I was overwhelmed by the body of Christ. How many people would come from two or three states away with truckloads of stuff, just hoping that they could give it to somebody that was in need so that they could share the love of Jesus with them. Have you ever experienced the love of God that you've just been, wow, I can't believe what God has done in my life and around me. And it's not because of me. And I could take the pride in it. You know, I was helping this person, help that person, help that person. I was overwhelmed by God's goodness, His mercy, His grace, and His love in the body of Christ. And when Jesus said that they will know you by the love that you have for one another, that happened in 2016 and I experienced it. And that's what he says here, that you might know experientially, not just that God loves you, but to feel and experience his love in a powerful way. And you might be filled with all the fullness of God now unto him, verse 20, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. To him be glory in the church, both by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Got to hurry. I want you to think about this real quickly. You ready? I believe that challenge, that's why I love adventure and outdoor programming. I believe challenge can lead to, it doesn't guarantee, but it can lead to humility. It can also lead to pride. I can do this on myself. I don't need your help, God. That's what most of the world is doing right now. It's what many Christians are doing. But God says, I allow challenges into your life so that you can demonstrate humility. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And when you humble yourself before God, when you're going through difficulties and challenges and you cry out to Him, hear my cry, O God, and attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. When you cry out to God like that with humility and say, God, I need you, then it can lead to transparency. And I believe transparency gets us to a deeper walk in relationship with God. And the problem is some of us are so fake even with God when we know that He knows everything about us. We hold back our sin. We don't talk to Him about it. We don't cry out and confess our sin honestly and authentically and genuinely. He already knows, but we're still afraid to talk to Him about it. Transparency leads to intimacy. Intimacy with God, I believe, leads to experiencing God's grace and His power and His love and sweet communion and fellowship and confidence and boldness and freedom in Jesus Christ. Youth pastor I worked with for 7 years challenged me and a bunch of teenagers to get real. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do right now. Here's the invitation. You ready? Would you be willing to pray this morning? That's all I'm asking. I can't force anybody here to pray, but I'm going to challenge every person, staff and faculty, students, would you be willing to pray? You can pray at your seat, but I'll also say this, it's amazing what coming to an altar will do. Some of you might not have grown up at a church where you come to an altar, but coming up and praying, I'm going to give you 4 minutes of silent prayer. It'll either be the most awkward 4 minutes of your life. If you want to come up here, you can do that. You can stay in your seats, but I'm going to pray right here. If you'd like to join me, you can. I'd like for you to get real, but this is the way you get real, okay? I want you to think about it. Are you going to say, okay, God, I want to just pour my heart out to you. I want to be honest with you. When's the last time you shed tears in prayer because of an unsaved loved one or family member? Or you got so honest with God, you're just like, I've got to get real with him, and I've got to tell him what I'm really struggling with. I'm going to close with a quote here from E.M. Bounds. It's not going to be long, so you stay right where you're at if you want to. You can just listen. But he says that dead men give out dead sermons, and dead sermons kill. Everything depends on the spiritual character of the preacher. It is not great talent, nor great learning, nor great preachers that God needs, but men great in holiness, great in faith, great in love. The preaching man is to be the praying man. The real sermon is made in the closet. Prayer makes the man. Prayer makes the preacher. Prayer makes the pastor. Certainly, many folks in here that might not be preachers or pastors, but I think the same truth applies to us, is that if we're going to have effectiveness in ministry at all, it comes in the closet. As you leave today, you will get a little piece of plastic. Can't see it because it's transparent. It's got a pole punch in there, and you can take this and put it on a key ring or something, and hopefully to remind you to get real, to be transparent with God, because if you put on a facade with God, there's nothing he can do except allow things into your life to get you to a place where you would humble yourself. And the faster that we can get real with God and be transparent with God and authentic and genuine in our talking with him, he already knows what's going on in your life. Why not tell him? Hopefully this will be a good reminder for you. Dear Jesus, help us to be transformed into the image of your Son through prayer. In his name we pray. Amen.